Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith.
How's it going?
Going great. Yourself?
You know, I'm just fine. Everything is great. I'm gearing up for a pop diva filled summer.
Yes, you are. Just you wait.
Just you wait, because we'll tell you why in just a second. Because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. Do you ever wonder why this music gets you high? Takes you on a ride.
Oh, a hint.
Well, in addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we'll be chatting about big chart news from Khalid, BTS, and Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. Plus, Ariana Grande's poptastic set at Coachella, where she reunited four-fifths of NSYNC, how Taylor Swift is teasing something coming later this month, and how Madonna announced a new single and a new album.
Whew. Divas.
Divas.
Plus, we have an interview with Latin music's biggest boy band, Ciencio.
Yeah.
The fivesome stopped by the Billboard office to talk all about their catchy, new, half-Spanish, half-English single, Pretend, and much more, so stick around for that. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Let's talk about the charts.
Charts.
Charts. First up, on the Billboard 200 chart, Khalid notches his first number one album as his third release, Free Spirit, opens atop the tally. Now, the set starts with 202,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending April 11th, according to Nielsen Music. And that is actually the fourth largest week of 2019 for an album and the biggest week for a solo male artist this year. And of that sum, 85,000 were in album sales. So congrats to Khalid.
Yeah, big week.
Khalid crowns the Billboard 200. How many alliteration-y things can I think of? Well, next week, watch for actually BTS to bump Khalid from the top slot. Hey, congratulations, Khalid, but you're on the way out, sir. It's like, we're so quick.
Hope you had fun.
Hope you had that nice 7 days. It's like, actually, it's not even that. It's like, we announced that he's number one, and then a day later, we're like, but he's on the way out. Because BTS is aiming to debut at number one with their new album, Map of the Soul, Persona, as industry forecasters suggest the album could start with between 200,000 and 225,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending April 18th. Now, if the album opens at number one, it will mark the third leader for the act, following last year's Love Yourself Answer and Love Yourself Tear. BTS, that's just... it's just nonstop BTS fun.
That's correct. They're on that future album path. Just three. A new album every few months.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the new thing. If you,
I mean, yeah, Ariana's on that train as well.
Also, BTS tends to do things in trilogies.
Yes.
Like the last...
They have eras.
Yeah, Love. It was like the Love Yourself era, mm-hmm. and each album had kind of its own kind of like theme, part of the storyline.
Yes.
BTS fans, I'm sure, know this a lot better than like the average fan, but... So I'm assuming...
Army out there like, don't tell us our business.
Yeah, the Army is just like, you don't know anything, Keith. But I assume that Persona is like the first part of a multi-part...
Of the map of the Soul era.
Yeah, so we shall see how the era pans out.
Indeed.
And lastly, over on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road sits atop the list for a second week. No surprise there. But it also logs the biggest streaming week ever for a song, with a whopping 143 million streams earned in the week ending April 11th. And that's just in the United States, of course. And, of course, according to Nielsen Music. That beats the record set by Drake's In My Feelings, which logged 116.2 million on the chart dated July 28th, 2018. Now, notably, both the original version of Old Town Road as well as the new Billy Ray Cyrus-assisted remix combined for that 143 million total. But that's the norm. When you have a song and its various remixes, they all combine together.
Right.
Having said that, Cyrus now claims his own number one on the Hot 100 as he's been added to the song's artist credit as the featured artist atop the list. So now the artist billing reads Lil Nas X featuring Billy Ray Cyrus. Why was he added in the second week? Because streaming and sales for this tracking week were driven most heavily by the Cyrus version.
Right.
Now, this has happened. There have been examples of where a song's artist credit gets changed midstream. An example that springs to mind immediately for me was when Rihanna's S&M single was doing okay on the chart. Like, it was top 10, I think. And then they released
the
Britney Spears version. Boom, went to number one, and Britney was credited at number one because the majority of the sales that were coming from the Britney version.
And the version that sprung to my mind was, or the song that sprung to my mind was Ed Sheeran's Perfect.
Oh, yeah, Beyonce got credit.
Which then had a Beyonce remix.
Yeah, and Beyonce got credit for that.
Yes.
Now, Cyrus may not necessarily retain that credit the entire duration of the
right.
chart run. In the same way that happened with Beyonce. Beyonce eventually was removed from the title. Like, it just doesn't make sense when... no one is buying it anymore and radio is not playing her version anymore.
Right.
Seems a little silly. So
I can tell you on streaming, the one that is on a lot of the Spotify official playlists is the Billy Ray Cyrus version. So like anyone passively listening to a Spotify playlist will get the Billy Ray version.
Which version do you enjoy more?
Well, the Billy Ray version is longer and sort of a more complete song.
Were you listening to me when I was talking about it the other day?
No.
Because that's what I to me, it seems like it's more of a complete song.
Yeah, it's like it needed one more verse, and now it has it,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and I feel like the ending is a lot more robust.
Yes.
Like, it feel like because they're harmonizing together, and you feel like it has a like more of a punch at
yes.
the end.
Yes. But my favorite version of the song might be Keith Urban's cover.
Oh, I'm waiting.
He just put up this banjo cover on his Twitter over the weekend, and... it's so good. And, I mean, Keith is, like, an incredible
guitar
player.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh. Well, that's your big, exciting chart news. I mean, there's lots of other chart news that we could talk about. But that is the extent of my chart news.
Well, then let's move on to the Billboard.com headlines. And the very first one is, of course, hashtag Arichella, which happened on Sunday.
Whatever could that possibly represent?
Well, Ariana Grande wrapped up weekend one of Coachella on Sunday night. And she brought a lot of special guests along for the ride. So rumors started swirling Friday that NSYNC would be joining her in the desert, and 4/5 of the group did make the trip, with everyone but Justin Timberlake hitting the stage to do a little bit of It Makes Me Ill from No Strings Attached, which, of course, is sampled on Ari's Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored, and then all of Tearing Up My Heart, with Ari filling in for JT on the second verse, and even... pulling out the classic choreography from the 1998 hit song. It was magical, and she even said, "I've been preparing my entire life for this performance," which anyone in the general age range of Ariana, to me, can understand.
See if I can get a word in edgewise with
yes.
Katie talking
yes.
about NSYNC.
Yes.
Is this really NSYNC?
I don't mind the people.
I mean,
it is
physically Lance Bass, Chris Kirkpatrick, Joey Fatone, and J.C. Chassé.
I don't mind
Justin
the people,
was not there.
Right. I don't mind the people saying, like, that she brought NSYNC on stage. I feel
she
like
she introduced him. She's like, it's NSYNC.
Yeah. I think even Justin would be okay with that.
Oh, Justin probably doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
But there's a certain integrity to being like, so now is it like, when a group gets back together and makes an appearance, how many of those members do you need for it to be considered
that
group?
What is quorum?
Yeah.
No, I honestly think that, like, it's very possible, and actually, stay tuned to Billboard.com because we're looking into this exact thing. It seems possible that this iteration of NSYNC might be the one and only iteration of NSYNC we ever see do anything ever again, because it kind of feels like Justin's never going to do anything proper with NSYNC again. It seems like he brought them out at the VMAs. They did that performance, and for him, that was like, cool, I'm good. And then they reunited, quote-unquote, for the star ceremony at the Walk of Fame last year.
Didn't perform.
But no performance. And honestly, I think, like, it would be more likely that this foursome would move forward under that NSYNC banner in some way ever in the future.
Do you think there's the possibility of, I mean, the Spice Girls are going on tour this
summer
without
Victoria.
It's totally possible. I mean, you can't, like, can you have Destiny's Child without Beyonce?
Well, so no, but I feel like two people is a different story than four also.
Also, when your lead vocals are performed mostly by one person, Beyonce.
What about, I think probably in America versus England, that take that as probably the exact example, because I think people kind of thought of Robbie and, help me,
Gary Barlow.
Gary as like co-frontmen. And I think that when NSYNC was as big as they were, JT and JC were co-frontmen.
Could this be the start of them thinking, maybe we could do something as a four-piece?
Yeah.
You know?
Potentially. Although maybe they don't want to mess with their legacy. Maybe they want to leave it there.
They've already messed with it. They showed up at Coachella as a guest.
I don't think they did.
Like, Ariana Grande's
set list.
You think
that messed with their legacy?
I'm not saying that. Like, someone tweeted on Sunday night, basically kind of like ripping Justin a new one. It was a former coworker of ours. He already deleted the tweet. he's basically like saying, like, Justin, like, is sort of lame for like not wanting to do this.
Oh, I disagree with that take.
And
actually,
I was like, I responded. I'm like, maybe he thought we're gonna reunite to do like a walk on in someone's set at Coachella. Nah, I'm good. You guys have a good time.
Yeah,
it has to be special if you're going to get the band back together.
I have 100%.
Not that Ariana's Coachella set is not special.
Well, right, that's the thing. I don't think that this, I don't think this tarnishes any sort of legacy. I think if you get into where they're touring as a foursome, it's like then you're rewriting history.
Like, who's singing Justin's parts?
Right. Is JC just going to do everything?
If he had his druthers, he probably would. Have Lance. I mean, the other boys can sing. Why can't they?
I mean, they can, but, like, those parts are so iconic for Justin. I mean, we've gotten a tangent here.
Okay, moving on.
Let's move on to the other guests.
Maybe they'll all come back next weekend.
That's the thing, honestly. Like, let's pay attention to next Sunday. Who knows? The Man of the Woods tour did wrap up Saturday night, so he has a full week.
What if only Justin shows up next weekend?
That would also be hilarious.
And the other four of them are just like, oh, I guess this is
Justin's
turn.
You're not allowed this time.
Sorry, guys. Justin wants to sing with Ariana on their own. He'll do Bang Bang with her.
Right. Oh, speaking of Bang Bang.
Speaking of Bang Bang.
Ariana's frequent collaborator Nicki Minaj was also there, joining in for Bang Bang and Side to Side, and experiencing some excruciating technical difficulties throughout that prompted Ariana to holler, "We can't hear anything," because clearly their in-ear monitors were not working.
Nicki was like off by like a couple seconds, where
and Ari was trying to get her back on, and it was a mess.
And like, you know, in a normal situation, you would want to be just like, "Yo, let's stop the show," but it's not like, I mean, everything is probably so technologically connected to one another.
Yeah,
lights and sound and everything is like computerized. Except it's like, you can't just be like, "Yo, stop the show. Nicki can't hear nothing."
Right. There were lots of memes floating around about Cardi B seen running away from the soundboard.
Well, you know, Nicki killed somebody backstage after that performance. Man.
Oh my God. Yeah, but I mean, actually, shockingly, Twitter has been really kind, where they're blaming the Coachella people and the tech people.
They were the only ones that had problems this weekend. Lizzo's set had terrible audio, and
Well, maybe let's wait till weekend two and see what happens. And it's live streaming this time around, weekend two. Typically in the past, YouTube has not live streamed weekend two. Now it will, so we can see it all over again on Sunday. And the final guest, Ariana was joined by Diddy and Mace for Mo Money Mo Problems. It was just like a full, like, fun throwback 90s situation.
Do people who bring out guests at Coachella bring them out both weekends?
Sometimes. And sometimes not.
Well, sometimes there'll be a different guest on the second weekend.
That's what I'm super curious, because did all these people, you know, sign up to do back-to-back, or will she come up? I mean, will she do a different throwback rap song where she does the hook, you know, next weekend? Like, Diddy might not be free next weekend. Who knows? So we shall see. Moving on to our second diva.
Maybe the Backstreet Boys show up next weekend.
Right.
All of them will be there.
Late Friday night, Taylor Swift sent fans into overdrive when she updated her website and social accounts with all signs pointing to April 26th. So TaylorSwift.com now features a countdown clock that expires at midnight on April 25th. But what is it counting down to? Is it an album? Is it a single? We will just have to wait and
new
see.
New merchandise.
It could be anything.
A third cat joins the Swift family.
I think fans would be real bummed if it was a merch collection.
the new TaylorSwift.com merch collection.
We're going to need some music, probably. But meanwhile, Swift's Instagram and Twitter bios have both been updated as well to read 426. And as of our recording on Monday, Swift has shared three additional visual clues, including a jewel-encrusted heart, two hands with an iridescent manicure and four sparkly rings, and a section of fluffy pink tulle. What does it all mean? But what do we want it to mean, I guess, is the question, Keith.
All right, so here's my theories.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame comes out that day, so maybe she has a song in the movie. Possible?
Yeah, it's possible. I don't like that. Like, I want it to be her own era, not like one standalone thing
right.
on a soundtrack.
What if it's... okay, so then it wouldn't be her doing a new song for the upcoming film Cats, in which she co-stars.
Another thing that, like, everyone's looking forward to Cats. Like,
everyone's looking forward to that, but they want this to be a Taylor Swift album.
Exactly. We all want... Yeah, exactly. I need like, new Taylor. And I feel like with the fanfare that she's putting into this, it's got to be a new music era. I don't know. I just feel like she wouldn't do that for a standalone
thing. She traditionally drops a single in the late fall for an album that comes out at the end of the year.
So she's already shaking it up a little bit from her normal thing.
But, you know, she did leave Big Machine Records, and now she's on Republic Records, so maybe it's a new day dawning, and maybe she's like, look, I can do things differently, and maybe I'll have a summertime album.
Yeah. And, of course, fans have been reading into all the, like, numerology and all the hints that she's been posting for the past few months. As we pointed out in our article on Billboard.com, they noticed that there were exactly 7 palm tree emojis in her caption of an Instagram post back in February, meaning that TS7 was coming. They also pointed out that there were 61.
This is what it means.
This is what it means, obviously.
Absolute truth.
And then there were 61. People went through and counted all the stars in the photo. There were 61 stars. And it turns out that from that Instagram post on February 24th, exactly 61 days from then, is April 26th. So, like, that whole thing was all setting this up.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, like, the thing is,
you're like, of course,
that all seemed crazy until then she did, you know, put the countdown clock into action, and it's like, oh, no, that wasn't crazy. It was exactly right.
How many jewels are on the encrusted heart pendant?
I'm sure people are already trying to break that down.
It's like, get out the magnifying glass. Find
exactly.
out. That'll be how many
I'm sure
days
each
until the
ring
album comes
means
out.
Something, you know. We'll stay tuned. Jeez. We'll stay tuned. Final diva.
In less cryptic news.
Keith's favorite diva. Oh, not that she's not cryptic, too. She's got her own cryptic stuff going on.
It's a little bit more obvious with this one.
But on Saturday, Madonna finally lifted the veil of secrecy over her next project, announcing via Instagram that her new album will be titled Madam X. In addition to a video teaser that she shared over the weekend, on Monday, Madonna revealed that the first single from the project, featuring superstar Colombian singer Maluma, will arrive on Wednesday. The song is called Medellin, which fits with Maluma's Colombian. Are you familiar with Medellin?
What does that mean?
Oh, it's a city in Colombia.
Oh, it's a city.
Yes, and specifically where Pablo Escobar is from, the drug kingpin. And the only reason I know how to say it properly and know where it is because of the HBO television show Entourage, where Adrian Grenier's character starred in a movie about Pablo Escobar called Medellin. So there you go. Medellin is the name of the song.
Alrighty then.
What did you think the song was called?
Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe it was just a Spanish word and it meant something in English.
Well, you know, it probably does as well, but it is a city.
Okay.
Yeah. So back in February, both Madonna and Maluma surprised their fans by sharing photos together in the studio. And Maluma previously told Billboard in an interview that he met Madonna during the VMAs in New York. And then he said, quote, "After that, I had the opportunity to spend some time with her in Los Angeles. She was in the studio and I joined her." How casual.
Yeah. There was no setup or machinations involved. It's just she was in the studio and I joined her.
And then all of a sudden I was there too.
I don't know how I materialized inside the studio.
All right. So since, I mean, this is clearly Keith's area. So like, I just need to know like your excitement level, what you thought of the video teaser, all of these hints and clues.
It's the Madonna cast. Well, so she, on Instagram, she revealed pieces of, like, every day or so, she had, like, a new piece of what would reveal a full picture. And she basically said, "Madam X is, like, you know, an equestrian."
That was my
spy.
Favorite one.
I was like, that's the randomest thing. But Madonna herself rides horses. You know, a spy, a teacher, a whore, a this.
A mother, a child.
A lover, a fighter, a sister, a brother. It's like, I'm just justify my love reference.
I might have started singing "I'm Every Woman" in the office too when after listening
Wrong
to that video.
Diva. I think it's interesting because she is. I think it's sort of a double play where we always pin her as a woman of reinvention for every album, for an era. Like, oh, this is like the Blonde Ambition era, mm-hmm. or this is like your disco country cowboy western girl era, mm-hmm. with music, or now you're like the disco Dolly from the 70s for Confessions, mm-hmm. and your hair changes color. But now with this, she's like, okay, I'm actually having sort of a different persona for every song on the album, and I'm kind of like, is Carmen Sandiego-ing it around the world, perhaps, on like sort of Madam X's secret mission or something? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't really tell what she's doing. Like, in the video, she has all these different wigs and different outfits. And it's kind of like, are you like secret agent lady? And all of these different things are the like sort of personas, BTS reference, that you inhibit through each song as you kind of go on this journey sort of through the album.
I think that's really interesting, especially that, like you said, that since she's reinvented herself so many times, it's like instead of having one distinct persona for this album, it's like she's everything.
She's everything.
She's everything that she's been before. She's everything she's gonna be.
Like, will this turn into like when you watch that teaser, I'm like, oh, is this, someone DM'd me and was like, do you think it's gonna be like a visual album? I'm like, shit, I don't know. Like,
Lemonade Part 2.
Well, I'm like, if anyone should have been doing a visual album decades ago, it was Madonna with
That's
all of
true.
Her music videos.
And she virtually did.
Yeah. So yes. I'm like, well, that would be really interesting. Like, what if it's like a movie where she plays all these like secret agent characters and she's like, you know,
it's like Alias starring
I was
Madonna.
Say Alias. Oh, yes. Can you imagine? I mean, yeah, they look like Alias. Yeah, I'm in. All
well,
right.
So you gotta stick with us because we'll be talking all about it as the new music comes out.
By the time
course,
you hear this, the song,
it could be out.
It's supposed to be out on Wednesday.
But
so,
wait until our episode next week for us to chat a little bit more about it once we get to hear it.
Yeah.
And now it's time for our interview with Ciencio. The 5-member Latin boy band came by the Billboard office to talk about Pretend, which is already a top 40 hit on our Hot Latin Songs chart and is getting play on mainstream pop stations here in the U.S. thanks to its half Spanish, half English lyrics. We talked about why now felt like the right time for the song, how their fans have embraced it, and the song's interpolation of Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge and why it works so well.
Written by friend of the podcast, Diane Warren.
To the beat of the rhythm. Oh, right. Yeah. If you have, you need to listen to Pretend, first of all. You're brought to hear a little piece of it, but you need to listen to the whole song because it's the way it works Rhythm of the Night in is really interesting and fun. We also talked about their upcoming performance on the Billboard Latin Music Awards, and most importantly to the fans, which members are single and which ones are taken, because this turned into a Tiger Beat interview real quick, and by real quick, I mean like instantly, and you're about to hear. So please enjoy our interview with Ciencio. Now we just pretend.
Hello to Ciencio, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Thank you for your time.
I'm hoping that maybe you could start off by saying hello and your name so everyone can get a kind of used to your voices.
So my name is Christopher. I'm from Ecuador. I'm 23 years old, and I'm single.
So I'm Richard. I am Dominican American, and I am 22, and I am also single. So, yeah.
Ready to mingle. I'm Joel. I'm 20 years old, and I'm Mexican American.
I'm Eric. I am 18 years old. I am from Cuba, and I am single too.
Yeah.
I'm Sabdiel. I'm from Puerto Rico, and I'm 21 years old.
And
I'm single as well.
You guys know what your fans want to know, obviously. You know the important things. You know, this is your first time on this podcast, but of course Billboard's been covering you guys for years.
Thank you.
We specifically wanted you to be here, though, because we're the Pop Shop Podcast, and you guys are officially going pop with Pretend.
Yeah.
It's a top 40 hit already on our Hot Latin Songs chart, and it's getting played on top 40 radio here in the U.S.
Awesome.
I kind of wanted to ask, like, why did it feel like the right time to have this song that's part Spanish, part English, and really kind of, you know, talk directly to these U.S. fans?
I feel like we kind of had a prep with Hey DJ, which was with Megan Trainor and Sean Paul, and also with Reggaeton Lento, with Little Mix. I feel like that was a prep. We've always wanted to do music in English, and we feel like after 3 years, I think we wanted to, like, give our fans, our non-speaking Spanish fans, like, you know, something that they actually hear every day, like their language and stuff. And we just like it too. I mean, Richard and I, we grew up listening to music in English. We sang music in English. So we think it was pretty cool to, like, you know, put that in there in our music. And yeah, we're happy with the outcome. Everyone seems to like it.
And you mentioned the Hey DJ remix. How did you originally link up with Megan and with Sean Paul for that?
So we recorded this song Hey DJ in English.
By
We were trying to just put it out by ourselves. So then we just talked with the team, and they had connections to Megan and to Sean. Well, we didn't even know about Sean Paul. Yeah. So we had connections to Megan, and Megan recorded her part, and she loved the song. She went crazy for
and
it.
She killed it.
And she sent it back with Sean Paul's voice.
So
we were like, this is crazy.
That's a special, like, gift.
Yeah, so it was great, you know. And it just became something like supernatural, you know. It was we weren't looking for any, like just to, like, you know how it's always planned, we should get with this artist because it will give us like a boom or whatever it is.
Right.
It was just very natural, you know. Somehow somebody had a connection, and then it just connected to her. Then she connected to Sean Paul, and then Sean Paul brought it back, you know. So it was like a cool vibe. That's why the song became so great. Yeah,
that's awesome. And so getting back to Pretend for a second, what has the fan reaction been to that song so far?
It's
what have you
amazing.
Been hearing?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's been amazing. Right now, in YouTube, is like maybe 32 plus million views.
Yeah.
And
a few people have heard it.
It's going crazy. The fans already in South America and Europe. We just came back from a tour in Europe and the United States, and they all knew the songs from bottom to top.
Yeah, so I think the really fans excited. from here in the United States and in Europe, I think that's the song that one of the songs that they screamed the loudest. So that's something that surprised us, and it shows that they like
brand
the song
new too.
Right.
So for them to know all the lyrics from top to bottom is crazy. Yeah.
Are you finding that your fans in places like Europe that maybe are not going to always be Spanish speaking fans are still shouting those lyrics at you?
Yeah, they do.
Them?
That's crazy. The whole concert. Spanish. So that's something
awesome.
That really.
That's a
that
really cool
us.
Thing, actually. Like, when we went to Japan, the fans told us that they were learning Spanish from our songs.
That's really cool.
And they were, like, kind of learning how to say, like, can I give you a hug in Spanish? So they can tell us.
The important phrases.
The important phrases. So that was really cool.
That's awesome. Do you feel like you're kind of finding a whole new fan base with this song? Like, people who maybe didn't know who you were before this?
Yeah, I feel like, let's say, especially for the U.S. and other parts
in Europe
or Asia, they're like, you know, they're relating a little bit more, you know. They're like, oh, they speak English too, you know, so maybe I could, like, start listening to them, and they listen to the rest of the song, so they're like, oh, I like
also
this vibe, you know.
Too.
Yeah, the beat, and also it's a throwback, you know, it's a throwback,
for,
it's a rhythm of the night.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So that is a DeBarge song originally.
Exactly.
I have a feeling like your moms were probably happy about that. Of course. Like their friends probably like
that. When we first heard it, it was like a throwback because we remember the times that, you know, our moms or aunts or even us, you know, cleaning in the house, listening to that song. It was always like a jam.
That's a song everybody knows.
Yeah. So when we heard this song, we were like, yo, this song is going to throw everybody back, you know, and it's going to feel, it's a feel good song, you know? So I feel like that's what people are feeling, you know, they're like, oh my God, they brought it back. The song feels good, you know?
Totally. So that's cool. Perfect. And what is the song, like, what do the lyrics mean to you? Have you guys experienced this exact situation or how are you relating to it?
Yeah, I feel like, let's say, for me, I've had a situation like that. So it's like,
let me put you on the spot.
Yeah, so, but it's great. You know, I feel like this song is a song that people could relate to, you know, maybe not everybody, but most people. And it's also not even to relate to. It just feels good, you know, the song, just to sing.
It's a party song.
Yeah, and you could get into that character too, you know, like whenever you're feeling sexy, you look in the mirror and you sing the song, you know, it's like, you just feel part of it.
I've noticed that when you hear the song, you have to move one part of your body. Exactly. Like, there's no way that you can, there's no way you can be still and just.
You have to bop to it.
So. You have to.
You know, do you feel that Pretend and Hey DJ might give you opportunities for more English language collaborations now? Like maybe some more artists, you know, that you are maybe on your wish list?
Could be.
We have a really big list. Yeah. Every time someone asks us, what's your guys' collaboration, dream collaboration, we have like 20 artists. So we're very open to doing with anyone. It doesn't matter what genre they sing in. We just like to make new music.
And you mentioned you just wrapped up a U.S. tour. It was your first headlining tour here in the U.S. What were those crowds like? What was the atmosphere like?
It was
more
amazing
than incredible, for sure.
We never expect so much people in this venue for be the first time that we tour, like here in the United States. So it was a lot of people, like in American Airlines. In Miami, that was like 10,000 crazy, people. Crazy.
Oh,
like
it's massive.
10,000 people, and we never expect that, so thank you very much.
That's awesome. And you're playing American Airlines again, right? For the Miami, there's a Miami festival that you guys are playing.
Exactly, the Miami Bash,
So, like, it's so cool that you get to fill that up on your own, though. You don't need to be on a big bill of artists. Like, how does that feel?
That day amazing. Was crazy. I feel like for us was
a dream come true.
Yeah, it was a eye-opener, you know, because we've worked so hard, you know, we've done so much things that we never thought that so early in our career, you know, we would fill up an American Airlines arena, you know what I mean? So it just feels good that they were super special. All the label, all the family was there, all the friends, you know, because that's where we're based. So that's where we have more friends and more people. So it was a lot of nerves, you know, it was a great vibe, you know, behind the stage. We had like a bunch of family members in the dressing room. So it was
fun.
The whole experience was super cool, you know.
That's
and
awesome.
To be back there for the Miami Bash is also super.
Yeah.
Good.
And speaking of that, you have a bunch of shows lined up still in the U.S. So if you missed Ciencio on their tour, you can still see them in Miami, San Diego, California.
We have a whole bunch of stuff.
Vegas. Have you started prepping for all of those kind of festival shows yet?
Sort of. I mean, during the road, like during along the road, we kind of prep because we're always doing shows, you know. So that's kind of our practice, you know.
Yeah.
But usually before, like a day before the show or two, we get in a room and we start practicing or we start talking everything down, what we're gonna say, what we're gonna do, you know.
Yeah, you guys never stop. Really.
Yeah.
So you're always prepping.
Non-stop.
Yeah, yeah.
But we like it.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good way to be. And before you guys had your headlining tour, you got a chance to open for quite a few huge name artists. Of course, Ricky Martin, Enrique and Pitbull, Ariana Grande on her Dangerous Woman tour. What is the best part about going out on tour with these big names? Like, you know, is it being able to learn from them? And what did you apply to your own tour after that?
I think
something like incredible because you have to sing to some people
that don't even know you.
Yeah, they are not your crowd.
Yeah,
no, your
you
fans.
Have to win them
so
over.
It's like a challenge. Exactly. It's a challenge.
You have to win them, and it's super super nervous too because like it's not your
crowd.
Your crowd, but we have to thanks to Enrique Iglesias and people and Ricky too at the first time. So. For the opportunity. I remember in Argentina, I think, was like 40,000 people.
Oh, my God.
The first show.
The first show.
Oh, my God.
Of Rico. And back then, we do covers.
We did covers, yeah.
After the show, you guys did mostly covers.
Yeah, we didn't have any.
We only had two singles out at that time.
Right.
So we had to do a bunch of covers.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So that little mini open.
And also, like, from these artists, we picked up a lot of things. You know, like, let's say seeing Ricky for 2 hours on stage, dancing and singing, everything live, you know?
Crazy.
So we were like, this guy is, like, how old? And he's still, like, you know, killing it up there better than any performance that we've seen, you know what I mean? So it's like, and also as a person as well, like, Ricky, apart from everything that he does on stage, apart from that, he's very humanitarian. Like, he's just very, like, about the spiritual.
Yeah.
So he's very spiritual. He's
I don't even know the word. You don't need to
So he's, like, about that. And he loves to, like, he always tells us, you know, to keep humble, to keep our feet on the ground, to love what we do. And always keep creating and rest a lot. You know what I mean? So. That's very important things that he showed us, and Ricky Martin and Pitbull, Enrique, like, you know, their energy on stage is freaking crazy.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Crazy.
So everything that they did on stage, we were like, wow, these guys are, like, you know, they've been in the game for so long, and they're how old, and they're still killing it, you know? And
so you have to bring, like, four times that energy.
Exactly.
Then.
And we're young. Yeah, we're young. So we got to, like, you know, we got to step up. You know what I mean? They're old, and they're still putting more energy than we are.
Old,
you know what I mean? So it's like, they're not old, but they're older than us.
They have a big career there. But a fun fact that we went on tour with Enrique Iglesias and people. I love the fact that we went on a tour bus. It was amazing. Like, we got to sleep a lot. We got to, like, compose music, like, to just have fun.
That's not the normal thing, going on a tour bus, right?
Yeah.
You're typically having to just get on flights all over the world.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Tour bus is good. We also got to know a lot of things about the U.S. also that we haven't, you know.
I was going to ask about that. You've had so much time in the U.S. now, and you still have so much time in the U.S. What's your favorite part about spending time here? And obviously three of you are from here originally or were born here. But, like, what do you like about spending time in America?
It's just a different vibe, to be honest.
Just to see, like, a bunch of scenes here, like our fans, like, being, like, growing around the whole globe is crazy. Like, we never expect to have fans in Texas or either whatever, like, at Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just
and
insane.
Also, a big deal, too, the food is different here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite food in the U.S.? Or what's your least favorite food?
I mean, our favorite food, we can't really say it because there's a lot of sponsors. But, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's Mexican. You know, it's like Mexican-Americanized type thing, you know.
It's a really good thing.
You know, it's like a bowl.
They just
you can get
bowls,
a burrito, too.
Tacos and burrito, and that's it.
Okay.
But that's something good about United States, touring in United States, because they have a lot of food, so you can pick, you know?
Different kind of varieties,
Yeah.
That's true.
We have it all.
And pizza, you know?
Well, you just went to Europe, though. I'm guessing the pizza might have been better in Italy than here. I don't know.
Yeah, but U.S. has a different vibe, you know?
Totally.
I feel like that's the thing. Like, even when we go to Europe or Asia, it's just they're all different vibes.
Yeah.
And we just love all of them, you know, to be able to adventure those things and have that as a memory.
Yeah, did you ever imagine
just learn
just
traveling
the globe
so
like this?
Being here in the U.S., we love it. We love to be in Europe. We love to be in Asia, you know, so there in Latin America as well, you know, everything is like such a different vibe that we loved it. You know, we know how to adapt to them.
Yeah.
Now, you know?
Another big event you have coming up is the Billboard Latin Music Awards. And obviously, you have a great history there. You won Best New Artist there in 2017. You took home a prize last year for Latin Pop Artist of the Year, Duo or Group, and you're nominated this year for three categories. What are you looking forward to that night?
Oh, my God.
Hopefully getting some.
At least one.
Well, your record's good. You've won something the last 2 years.
Only one.
I don't know. Seeing a whole bunch of artists perform.
Just have fun.
Just having fun.
Performing, too.
Yeah, performing, too.
Getting to see a whole bunch of our friends that are artists as well that we don't really get to see them because they're also traveling. I think it's going to be a really fun night. So,
yeah,
you guys have to stay tuned for that.
For sure. And Las Vegas.
Vegas.
You obviously have been there before.
Vegas, yes.
And you're going there in the fall again, like we said, for the iHeart Festival. What do you think about Vegas?
What happened in
Vegas?
It's the first year that three of us are legal. You know that we're old enough to go out, you know, and so we're gonna try to adventure a little bit Vegas.
More.
Eric,
not
too much. Stay in our room.
Good boys. Yeah, let's just leave it in Vegas. You know.
So what's next after Pretend? Let's talk about the future. Are you thinking that there might be more of these Spanglish songs in your future?
Maybe
after seeing the outcome. And the response of the public, after seeing how much they liked it, we're definitely going to do it. Not only because of that, but also because we liked it too. We felt really good recording music in English. And yeah, you guys have to stay tuned because we have actually a whole bunch of other songs recorded, a lot of surprises.
Well, so is there an album in the works too? You just put one out last year, so we're not rushing you.
We're not planning on an album, you know what I mean? We're just recording songs. And let's say like this year, there's a lot of new music that are coming out. We have a lot of singles. We have a lot of features. We have a lot of, you know.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so.
Can't talk about just yet.
We can't talk.
So we have to stay tuned. Social media.
But we have a lot of things coming, so we're not planning on an album, you know, structuring an album. Okay. We're just releasing songs and see where it takes us. Right now, we're writing as well.
Yeah. Great.
So there's a lot of works being done. You know, we're constantly working. We're constantly creating, you know, so is a work. Maybe we'll pull up an EP or an album, who knows, you know.
And what is your guys' like writing style? Like, do you write by yourselves or do you write all together?
Depends
on the day.
Sometimes it's by ourselves, sometimes we write something and show the rest and see what they think and then what they would add.
That's gotta be sort of nerve-wracking, you know. Their opinion.
Like, let's say in the group, Sabdiel is the producer, so like, let's say whenever we have an idea, we go to Sabdiel, we're like, yo bro, can you do like something with this or whatever,
or
he'll show us a beat or something, you know. So
such a rat on it.
It's cool.
And you're writing on the road like all the time? I just cut you off. What were you gonna say?
I think we're always writing, to be honest.
You're always writing.
We're always thinking, because there's nothing else to do. We're always on our phones too, so like once we get bored of that, we just start, you know, singing, making a beat, singing different, making different songs up and stuff. Yeah, it's fun.
And you mentioned just like kind of concentrating on releasing songs. I mean, that's kind of how the music world is now. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's how most people consume music. Mm-hmm. Get a new song on Spotify, etc. Like, while albums are still important, do you kind of feel like that's the focus right now?
Yeah, I feel like nowadays people don't really listen to albums. You know,
it's
people,
so sad. I love
it's
albums.
It's sad, yeah, but I feel like people. People
it's
like,
true. It's
yeah,
true. It's
people
how
like
people
listen
consume
to
it.
Like just what's in now. You know what I mean? They won't go to an album and listen to the whole thing. Maybe like later on, they'll probably get, you know, bored of listening to every song and they'll get into albums. You know, that's why we're not thinking about album right now.
Yeah.
We're just thinking of releasing music and just showing them a good time, you know, with our music. So it's cool.
What are some of your favorite songs right now? I'm curious. Maybe can everybody give me something? Pretend. Obviously, it's all of our favorite songs right now. What are some favorite songs by other artists?
I like Talk by Khalid.
I'm listening to Billie Eilish right now.
Oh, yeah, and her new album comes out tomorrow.
Oh,
Speaking of albums, it's out tomorrow.
I've listened to Burry, to Lovely, but Khalid and Billie Eilish.
I really like right now Te Robaré by Nicky Jam and Ozuna.
Te Robaré.
Super good.
Yes.
Balvin and Rosalía took out a new song now. Yeah. It's cool.
Perdóname, Manrique is really good.
Yeah, Manrique. There's a lot of artists.
We listen to a lot of songs.
I'm sure that's what you're doing on the road.
And since we're five, you know, each and one of us have like a different kind of taste.
Yeah.
So like, let's say he'll have a different type of genre song that's in now. And so he'll show me, then it becomes my favorite song. Then I play him something and then it becomes his.
That's actually
like,
cool.
Yeah,
you don't
so
need
cool.
Spotify. You have each
exactly,
other.
Exactly.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And good luck out on the road.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Ciencio for coming into the office. They were so nice, and they also did a real number on our snack closet because they're all, you know, teenage, early 20 boys. So I let them loose in there.
You didn't even ask them if they were single or not. They just volunteered that.
They volunteered that information. Yeah, like the moment I ask that.
What's your name? Well, my name is Keith. I'm an Aries, and I'm ready to mingle.
Should have asked for their favorite color, favorite food, but I didn't. Well, actually, I did see some of their favorite foods, so, you know, you can DM me and we can talk about it. There was definitely some cup of noodles being consumed.
Send Katie a tweet and find out what Ciencio's favorite snacks are.
Yeah.
So you know what, like, snacks to bring them the next time you're, like, you know, waiting in line to meet them.
I heard that Billboard said that you liked these.
Just
these
make sure you
chips.
Have a microwave nearby too to heat up the cup of noodles, because it's not a good thing to just hand them
on
the street.
They had more than that. Okay, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Well, speaking of CNCO,
yes.
I believe there is a connection of CNCO to one Ricky Martin, correct?
That
Katie?
Is correct. That is their mentor, and then they also went on a massive tour with him as well.
Well, 20 years ago this week, Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca debuted on the Billboard Hot 100 chart on its way to number one just a few weeks later. Livin entered the list dated April 17th, 1999, at number 54, then jumped to number 32, then to number 8, and then on May 1st, oops, nope, and then on May 8th, it hit number 1, where it ruled for 5 straight weeks. The song was inescapable in 1999. Some might say it made you go insane, perhaps even upside or even inside out. The single led Ricky Martin's self-titled album, which debuted at number 1 on the May 29th, 1999, dated Billboard 200, and also featured a duet with, wait for it, Madonna.
I mean, everything is really tying together, and we did not do this intentionally, but like the new Madonna single features Maluma, and then we went into our interview with Ciencio, and now we're doing our chart stat with Ricky Martin. It is a full Latin flavored Pop Shop podcast.
Yes.
Or maybe it was intentional. Keith did it, and I actually just noticed it.
No, actually, this the Ricky Martin thing was a quasi-accident.
Okay.
Whatever. So there you have it. This week in 1999, Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca debuted on the Hot 100 chart on its way to number 1. Upside, inside out. Okie dokie. We have reached the end of the show. Do we have any parting words?
Well, this is me furiously typing searching something real quick because I'm curious
as to what the name of the song was that Madonna did with Ricky Martin.
I want to see what number
it was called. Be Careful With My Heart.
I was going to look up what number La Vida Loca ended up at on our
Best of 1999
list. Best Songs of 1999.
It's got to be pretty high up there.
It's in the top 20.
Both Katie and I voted on this list. I don't remember where I put Livin' La Vida Loca, though.
Well, I can tell you that our staff collectively put it at number 13.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's decent.
Tell us what's ahead of this on the list,
okay.
Katie.
Let's just go do a quick countdown. Number 12, Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Good.
Number 11, Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle.
Great. Again, this is all voted on by people that work in the editorial staff at Google.
Correct. Number 10, Eminem, My Name Is.
Hi.
Number 9, Jennifer Lopez, Waiting for Tonight.
Oh, good one.
Great song. Yeah. Number 8, Blink-182, All the Small Things.
Interesting.
Great song, better video.
Yeah.
Number 7 is Cher.
Oh!
Believe.
Yes.
There's just so many like contenders for number 1 on this list.
Yeah.
Number 6, Lauryn Hill, X Factor. Now
really?
Famously sampled in Nice for What by Drake. Number 5 is Santana featuring Rob Thomas, Smooth.
Wow.
Number 4, Juvenile featuring Manny Fresh and Lil Wayne, Back That Ass Up.
Or Thing.
Back That Thing Up if you're listening on the radio or at a middle school dance.
Girl,
like
you look good.
I might have been. Number 3, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way.
Wow, that could have easily been number 1.
Number 2, TLC, No Scrubs.
That could have easily been number 1.
That was my number 1. And number 1, Britney Spears, Baby One More Time.
Man, 1999,
you guys.
Such a good year.
Seriously.
Then again, I said the same thing when we did the 1998 roundup, too.
I know, it's so true. So go check that out.
So which of those songs should we go out on?
Great question.
Baby One More Time, since it's the last
yes,
one.
Yes, I'm down with that.
Okay, see you guys next time.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.